This podcast is a reading of an article posted on the Watchman's Post at eWatchman.com entitled, Will There Be a New World Order? If you're listening on jwradio.com, I'll post a link to the article, and there are various links to other articles on the Watchman's Post. And greetings to those listening on iTunes. There are various and sundry conspiracy theories that come under the rubric of New World Order, much of which is either intentionally diversionary or simply outlandish nonsense, seemingly intended to discredit everything categorized by the mainstream as a conspiracy theory. For example, London's Telegraph, an influential mouthpiece of the City of London, classifies the New World Order conspiracy, along with stuff like UFOs and the crazy notion that the Apollo moon landing was a fake. But in a nutshell, the actual New World Order conspiracy is the long-running scheme on the part of a small clique of ultra-wealthy families loosely grouped around the British monarchy and the European aristocracy, the financial center being the City of London, and a myriad of other secretive societies and institutions comprising a neo-Roman Empire whose intention is to abolish the present ordering of nation-states and subject mankind to a totalitarian global dictatorship. The New World Order architects ultimately intend to abolish Christianity, the scientific and cultural legacy of the Renaissance, and implement a terminal, final solution of the myriad of intractable social problems by reducing the world's population by a sizable proportion. The question for Jehovah's Witnesses to consider is this: will the conspirators' nightmarish New World Order actually come about in the future? Or is it all just the shared paranoid delusions of the tinfoil Mad Hatters? According to the Watchtower, the answer is no. There will be no such totalitarian world government. This is, ironically, an odd position for the Watchtower Society to take, in view of the fact that Jehovah's Witnesses well know that powerful, wicked spirits rule the world, and their intention is to employ the last empire to war against and crush Jehovah's people. But to underscore the official stance of the Watchtower on this issue, an emailer who attended a recent assembly informed me that a district overseer assured his trusting audience that there would be no human or satanic new world order in the future, only God's new system of things. The overseer's opinion, of course, is based upon the Watchtower's unique interpretation of God's prophetic word. And the society's explication of prophecy is what shapes the expectations of millions of Jehovah's Witnesses and interested persons. And as all of Jehovah's Witnesses surely know, the only thing the Watchtower's institutional seers have forecast for the immediate future is the sudden destruction of Babylon the Great. Ironically, by the presently relatively impotent and ineffectual United Nations organization. Take, for example, the daily text for Monday, May 12th, which is based upon the June 15th, 2012 Watchtower, which states that the present Anglo-American power will not be replaced by any other human kingdom before it is crushed by God's kingdom. But is that true? The Watchtower article gives a brief overview of a number of prophecies. Take, for instance, the fourth paragraph of the article, which states, "Four of the horns, or kingdoms, that sprouted from the head of the ferocious beast receive special mention. three are plucked out by another horn, a small one. This was fulfilled when Britain, a former outpost of the Roman Empire, grew to prominence. Until the 17th century, Britain was a relatively insignificant power. Three other regions of the old Roman Empire, Spain, the Netherlands, and France, were far more influential. Britain plucked those powers out one by one, removing them from their positions of prestige. By the mid-18th century, Britain was on its way to become the dominant power on the world scene. But it had not yet become the seventh head of the wild beast. End quote. First, a careful reading of the prophecy indicates that the unusually ferocious beast that Daniel envisioned did not have just 10 horns. It actually has 11, at least momentarily, before the three are uprooted by number 11. That is evident by the fact that Daniel clearly indicated that the last horn emerges among the already existing 10 horns, referring to it as the other horn. The 20th verse reads, "And about the 10 horns on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which three fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth speaking arrogantly, and whose appearance was bigger than that of the others." Not only that, but verse 24 indicates that the other horn rises up after the 10, and he will be different from the first ones. It reads, "As for the 10 horns, 10 kings will rise up out of that kingdom, and still another one will rise up after them, and he will be different from the first ones, and he will humiliate 3 kings." It may seem like a trivial detail, there being 11 horns, not 10. But what accounts for the fact that the Watchtower Society ostensibly has access to the input of hundreds and thousands of well-studied and knowledgeable men and women, many of whom having the anointed spirit, not to mention the fact that according to the Society, we are deep in the time of the end, when the secrets of Daniel are scheduled to be unsealed. And yet after a century of Bible research, Jehovah's Witnesses are still unable to comprehend such a simple thing as this. Is it not a stark example of the sort of collective blindness that God foretold in prophecy? As regards the Watchtower's proffered interpretation, we might ask, how did the British Empire of the Victorian Age differ significantly from the rival powers of the Dutch, Spanish, and French? The fact is, the colonial powers of that era were all basically following the same model as they competed to grab natural resources and exploit backward nations, except the British Empire gradually became the most dominant. Yet the prophecy foretells that the last descending horn will be different from the others. But more than that, there is no justification for Jehovah's Witnesses to believe that the plucking out of the three horns takes place one at a time, gradually, over a span of more than 2 centuries, beginning more than 4 centuries ago. And also consider this. If France was supposedly taken out by the British Empire, how is it that France and Great Britain were key allies in both world wars? And at this present time, France is a member of the exclusive club of nuclear powers, one of the world's great economies of the G8, and it also has a permanent seat on the UN Security Council. In view of all of that, how has France been plucked from its position of world prestige, as the previously quoted Watchtower article claims? Did one of the plucked-out horns somehow reattach itself to the head of the beast? But perhaps the greatest flaw in the Watchtower's view is that the last emerging horn possesses not only eyes, but also a mouth with which it arrogantly speaks words against the Most High Himself. What is the significance of that? When it comes to interpreting prophecy, it is wise to recognize that all prophecy is harmonious and complementary. Take, for example, the fact that just as the seventh chapter of Daniel portrays a beastly horn speaking great blasphemies against God, so too the 13th chapter of Revelation depicts a wild beast that opens its mouth to speak great things and blasphemies against God. And just as the boastful horn is allowed to dominate the holy ones for a prophetic 3.5 times, the beast of Revelation does also, expressed as 42 months. The Watchtower, of course, recognizes this connection, but has attached its fulfillment to 1914. In fact, the same article cited already also relates the following in paragraph 6. The Anglo-American world power waged war with those holy ones. During World War I, it oppressed God's people, banned some of their publications, and threw representatives of the faithful slave class into prison. The seventh head of the wild beast as much as killed the preaching work for a period of time. Jehovah foresaw this dramatic event and revealed it to John. God also told John that the secondary part of the seed would be revived to increased spiritual activity. The history of Jehovah's modern-day servants confirms that those events took place. End quote. First, what proof is there that the British Empire or their American partners have at any point in history spoken astonishing blasphemies against God in any noteworthy way? Both nations claim to be Christian. In fact, the Crown is also the head of the Anglican Church, and the United States is well known for promoting Judeo-Christian values, so-called. Sure, they're hypocritical, but nonetheless, they make a pretense at honoring the God of the Bible. As regards the Society's assertion that the Anglo-American power killed the preaching work, that is simply not true. Although 8 officers of the Society were briefly incarcerated, more than anything else, the preaching work of the Bible students was disrupted by the discouragement, turmoil, and confusion that ensued after the unexpected death of C.T. Russell in 1916. The censorship of a few pages of The Finished Mystery of God is laughable, considering that the publication is so riddled with nonsense that even the Watchtower now considers it an embarrassment. Subheading: He will speak astonishing things. But there is more to the prophetic puzzle. As regards the King of the North, Daniel 11:36-37 states, "The king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and against the God of gods he will speak astonishing things. And he will prove successful until the denunciation comes to a finish, because what is determined must take place. He will show no regard for the God of his fathers, nor will he show regard for the desire of women, or for any other god, but he will magnify himself over everyone." Any honest consideration of these 3 prophecies, by those who are not under the Watchtower's hypnotic influence, ought to lead to the conclusion that since the 11th horn of the beast of Daniel and the revived 7th head of the wild beast of Revelation, as well as the King of the North, are all described in the exact same way, as speaking great blasphemies against God, they must, therefore, represent the same earthly kingdom. For that matter, the king fierce in countenance does too. But not according to the Watchtower, Bethel's visionaries claim that the atheistic USSR was the king of the North that spoke astonishing things against God. This, in spite of the fact that the prophecy clearly states, he will prove successful until the denunciation comes to a finish. Let the prophet class explain how the now non-existent USSR will prove to be successful until the end of the system. But alas, as in all matters, the Watchtower Society and its governing body cannot be made to answer to any mere earthling for the contradictory prophetic claptrap they publish and endorse as the truth of God. But given the obvious incongruities presented in this article, and many others besides, it ought to be evident to honest, reasoning Jehovah's Witnesses that the Watchtower's interpretation of these vital prophecies is in error. In truth, the appearance of the 11th horn, the slaughter and revival of the 7th head of the beast, and the success of the King of the North over his nemesis all depict the same future event, the crash of the present system and the imposition of a new world order under the rule of the prophetic 8th king of Revelation. How can that be stated with certainty? Consider the 13th chapter of Revelation again, specifically the 9th verse, which states, "And all those who dwell on the earth will worship it. From the founding of the world, not one of their names has been written in the scroll of life of the Lamb who was slaughtered." The mandatory worship of the beast is imposed upon the world in the aftermath of its revival from a death stroke upon one of its heads. The revived head then gives life to the image of the beast, otherwise known as the 8th king. That begins the hour of test upon the entire inhabited earth, coinciding with the 1 hour allotted to the 8th king. And as Revelation states in numerous places, those who worship the beast or its image do not have their names written down in the scroll of life. In other words, they are doomed to the second death. The reason for such a harsh judgment is because the 8th king will be a competing kingdom with the kingdom of Christ. And those who obey the beast will alternatively disobey the then ruling Savior. But if the kingdom came to power in 1914, and the head of the beast received its mortal wound and subsequent resurrection during the First World War, this would mean that all the many billions since then who have lived and died, and the billions now living, have all been consigned to everlasting death. Obviously, that is absurd, and none of Jehovah's Witnesses would admit to believing such nonsense. Yet, by inference, it is exactly what the Watchtower teaches. The 3 horns that are destined to be plucked out coincide with the slaughter of one of the heads of the 7-headed beast. The ascension of the 11th horn parallels the arrival of the 8th king. Interestingly, during the time of the end, the king of the north is also destined to subjugate 3 kingdoms, namely Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Egypt symbolizing the king of the south. As regards the Watchtower's assertion that the Anglo-American power will not be replaced, this is not entirely true either. What we may expect in line with prophecy is for the present world order to be shattered as if the political system itself dies. In the ensuing pandemonium and anarchy and the desperate pleas for law and order, the Anglo-American duo will come back to life, more than likely as a military dictatorship, afterwards bringing to life the image of the beast, the 8th kingdom, at which point all remnants of national sovereignties are transferred to it. Parenthetically, as regards the metallic colossus with the feet of iron and clay, The entire image itself symbolizes the last kingdom. But because the Anglo-American duo will support the last kingdom, the kingdom stone is depicted as striking the supporting feet. The imposition of global governance in the face of men being faint from fright will bring about the true fulfillment of the second psalm, which states, "Why are the nations agitated, and the peoples muttering an empty thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and high officials gather together as one against Jehovah and against his anointed one." With the last kingdom in control, and money and all civil liberties abolished, Jehovah will then acquisition the conspirators' new world order as his own punishing agent. First, Christ will use the tyrant of the nations to bring judgment upon the house of God, because, as Jehovah long ago stated in Isaiah, only terror will make them understand what was heard. Then the beast will turn upon the world and implement the ultimate final solution. The global genocide envisioned in Habakkuk is also foretold in connection with the final campaign of the King of the North. And he will go out in a great rage to annihilate and to devote many to destruction. While American patriots strive to alert the public to save the republic from falling into the hand of tyrants, little do they realize that the coming New World Order is sanctioned by Jehovah himself. It is his strange and unusual work foretold in Isaiah. Because God long ago foretold that he would subject the world to the ravages of the wild beast during the conclusion of the system of things, and that Satan's New World Order scheme will ultimately fulfill God's grand purpose, for that reason, God states in the first chapter of Isaiah, "You men must not say, 'A conspiracy,' respecting all of which this people keep saying, 'A conspiracy.' And the object of their fear, you men must not fear, nor must you tremble at it. Jehovah of armies, he is the one whom you should treat as holy. And he should be the object of your fear, and he should be the one causing you to tremble."
Before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a new world order, a new world order, a new world order.